can be seated.
Amen. Thank you guys for making it down. It's a joy to gather across congregations. We love you. We pray for your churches all the time. And so it is a blessing anytime we get to gather and hear the word together and sing together. It is a joy. And so I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm going to be reading from, as we were kind of setting this up, I joked that Van picked all the Advent verses, so I had to pick a non-Advent verse. And so I'm going to be reading from Revelation chapter 21, and I'll go into chapter 22. This is Revelation chapter 21, chapter 21 verses 22 and following into chapter 22 verse 5. It says, "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life." I'm sorry, I started in 22. Verse 22. "And then I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean may ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed there, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." So maybe you're asking why I picked this very non-Advent verse. And if you are from Kahului Baptist, the original KBC, you'll know why. It's because we are celebrating, this time of the season, we are celebrating Advent. And as Pastor Van Michael said, Advent simply means the coming or the arrival, right? And we are usually, as modern Christians, mostly celebrating the first Advent, the first coming of Christ, the first time that Jesus came. He put on flesh. He came as an infant, a humble, meek, mild, gentle, lowly, little baby, and he lived in humility. But there is a second Advent. There is a second coming of Christ. And he will not come meek and mild, gentle and lowly. He will come as a conquering king. And so when we participate in what we're doing tonight, what we're celebrating, usually what's on the forefront of our minds is that one, the little light, right? And then that light spreading, which is what makes the candlelight service glorious. In addition to being a little dangerous, it's glorious just to think about light spreading. But I just historically the church has thought way more about both Advents. And so tonight, I want to think about both Advents, the first one and the future second coming of Christ. And I want to compare and contrast a little bit and make sure that we understand what we're thinking about. And I want to have that at the forefront of our mind, not just the first coming of Christ, but the second coming of Christ at the forefront of our mind as we start lighting candles. So the first thing that I want to look at is the fact that the second Advent, the second coming of Christ, which many of us think of as really good news, is really only good news because of the first Advent. If there were no first Advent, the coming of Christ as a king would be a terrible, horrific thing for all of us. So if you read the verses that I just read, so he's going to give to the thirsty, "I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, as for the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. That's how chapter 21 of Revelation starts. So if you think about like the fact that the second advent is going to accomplish a kingdom in which none of those things exist. If you read the scriptures that we read, so in verse 27, it says, "But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false." Chapter 22:3, "No longer will there be anything accursed." We need to make sure that we remember that we have not earned a place in the new kingdom. We are brought in by the water of life without payment. Because the first advent was Jesus putting on flesh like ours, living life humbly before God, obediently, perfectly obediently before God, and then dying in our place as a sacrifice to atone for our sins, that we might be given his righteousness. And if you have not received the righteousness of Christ, then the second coming of Jesus is going to be a terrible, terrible thing. But if you have believed that gospel, you have been given the water of life without payment, and the second coming of Jesus is a very good thing. Much better than whatever you're expecting tomorrow, whatever you're anticipating is under the tree, the second advent is bringing infinitely better because of the first advent. The next thing that I want to consider is the fact that the first advent is really fulfilled and completed in the second advent. If you read all the prophecies that we just went through in Isaiah, like all of them were not fulfilled in the first advent. You guys realize that, right? Like we're reading these prophecies about like how he's going to judge all the earth. All the earth will be judged, and it's going to result in perfect righteousness and equity, and all the wrongdoers will be dealt with properly, and all those who are righteous are going to be rewarded properly. Well, that has not been accomplished. We're seeing like this influx of if you look at this picture in Revelation, what you see is that everything is finally peaceful. Everything is finally united in Christ. And you see this influx of people from the nations. They're bringing the glory of the nations into it. And so justice is not complete now, but it will be in the second advent. Unity and peace all over the earth is not complete now, but it will be in the second advent. No matter how many different opinions we can have on immigration right now, there's coming a time when the glory and the honor of the nations will be brought into the new city, the new Jerusalem, and we will worship in peace and unity together. And so when you see the first advent is an inauguration, it's a kickoff of the expansion of the kingdom of God, but there is coming a time when it will be totally and perfectly fulfilled, totally and finally completed in the new heavens and the new earth. And there's not going to be any more conflict. There's not going to be any more conquering because he will have conquered. And finally, I want to consider the fact that light will finally and totally reign. So if you consider the text that we read, in Isaiah 9, it said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone." And we see that fulfilled in Jesus' coming. John 1, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness not overcome it." That's true of you right now. You're in the time when the light has come. The light of men has come. And the darkness is not overcoming it. But there is coming a time. So back to Revelation 21, 23. It says, "And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it its light, and the lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk." And then a little bit later it says, "They will see his face, his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." So we're in a season where light is spreading. But we still need the sun. We still need the lights that we have on now. But there is coming a time where light will completely win and reign. The light of God will completely win and reign. One day, we will be in an everlasting time where the light has fully conquered. We will reach a place where we fully realize what 1 John says when it tells us that God is light and in him there is no darkness. Hey, Ez. And there's not a candlelight service that we can't like celebrate that in the candlelight service where like light conquers. Like there's a limit to what we can set on fire tonight, right? That we cannot set everything on fire. Everything cannot be light. But there, so I want you to anticipate that you can really experience the fact that light came as we light that one little candle. And then you can appreciate the fact that light is expanding. But there's going to be a limit to that tonight. There's coming a time where there's no limit. There's coming a day when light will fully reign. And so whatever you're facing in your life right now, whatever hardship you feel like is dominating your life, I hope that you'll take great courage and encouragement in the fact that light is expanding and it will overcome all darkness. Whatever the effects of darkness are in your life, whether it's sickness or poverty or some relational strain or whatever it is, that's going to be overcome by the light of God. If you have celebrated the first Advent, the coming of Christ, if you believed that gospel, you've turned from your sin, you are a part of the expansion of his kingdom, the expansion of this unceasing, unconquerable light. And if you're here tonight and you haven't believed the gospel, you need to know that you cannot stop that light. It is something that will overcome you and overwhelm you. But you are welcomed into it. You are welcomed into it if you believe that Jesus became man, that he's God, he became man, he put on flesh, he lived a life of perfection, and that he pleased God with a sacrifice that was good, and he saved you from your sin. You can be a part of the light of God, which is conquering all things. And so I hope that for this season, you will think not just about sweet baby Jesus in the manger, but that you will think about the reality that he has inaugurated a kingdom that he is growing and which is expanding and will never be overcome by the darkness. And it is a good thing to be a part of that kingdom. That you will celebrate that. You celebrate the future of that. And so I hope tonight we've expanded our understanding of what it means to be a part of the light. I'm going to pray for us and then we'll sing. Father, we thank you so much for this season, for what it means, for all of your mercy in uniting us to your Son. We pray, Father, that you would help us to continue to celebrate, that we would think not just of the first Advent, but we would long for and hope for and look forward to the second Advent, and that those things would fill our celebration of this season. We pray, Father, that you would bless our families as we gather and our churches as we gather. We pray that you would help us to know the truth of the gospel and that we would celebrate it with hearts that are full of light. We pray this in your name. Amen.